Welcome, 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 welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. I have my man from the heart of sports, Jeff Cohen. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing well. The rain has stopped. The sun has come out. That must mean the Sixers are on the way to victory.
Yeah, it should. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I'm a little disappointed that it stopped raining. And here's the reason. You know, I just got my grass, like, power seeded a couple weeks ago. So they say, like, they said that you got to water the grass every day. And I was doing that every day for, like, 2 weeks. And then I'm realizing, like, man, this water bill is going to be high. So, like, please rain. And when it rained, it saturated to the point where I don't have to really water the grass anymore. So I'm excited about that.
I'm glad that the rain can make somebody's day.
Yeah, you know. Thank you. But, hey, you know what? Here's the thing. Like, on this podcast, I really want to talk about what's next for the Sixers. You know, it seems like it took eternity for them to hire a coach. I guess of all the candidates they could have gotten, I guess the delay worked out for them that they were able to get a guy like Doc Rivers, right?
Yep,
now, the next step is who's going to be the head coaches? I mean, excuse me, the assistant coaches. And, you know, when you look at it, you know, there are two of his former assistants, Ty Lue, who was a coaching candidate for the Sixers, and Sam Cassell, who right now are head coaching candidates for other jobs, right? So it's one of those things where you figure that I expect Ty Lue to get a head coaching job. Sam Cassell could get a head coaching job. But I think what's going to happen is after we find out what these guys do, then all of a sudden a list will come out. You know, now, from what I hear, Sam Cassell, if he doesn't get a job, he's most likely coming to Philadelphia. You know, there are some other guys. Brendan O'Connor is a name that came out. So there are certain guys who will follow Doc, but it just seems as if that is a little slow motion right now. But when you factor in how long it took for them to hire a coach, you know, that's what happened. But is that a concern to you?
Well, it's a concern that they haven't hired anyone. It's more of a concern about who it is that they're going to bring in.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything yet from Doc Rivers about what his philosophy is going to be, how he's going to run this team. And I think, you know, people don't focus on, the general public doesn't focus on who the assistant coaches are going to be, but the assistant coaches, for the most part, run the team. They do a lot of the X's and O's. I mean, for the Sixers, their defensive coach was key to this team for a long time. I think the assistants actually matter once you know what Doc Rivers' philosophy is going to be. Making sure he gets the right guys in, guys that are actually going to be listened to. Because it seems to me that it's not the head coach who spends the most time with the players. It's the assistants that spend the most time with the players and talk to them the most. That's why I kind of like the idea of Sam Cassell. As much as I think Sam Cassell would be a good head coach, he would be a great addition to this. If I recall correctly, Sam Cassell was kind of a fiery competitor when he was a player, right?
Yeah, he was.
So I could see him being a kind of in-your-face assistant. So that Doc Rivers is known to say what needs to be said. I mean, you and I have talked on your podcast before about how Tobias Harris talked about how Doc Rivers was kind of in his face in the right way. But Doc Rivers can't be in everybody's face. And somebody else has to be. I still don't know. I mean, we can talk about this later, but I still don't know who the leader is on this team. And if we're not going to be able to identify a player leader, Sam Cassell could be the closest thing to that. He's not as far removed from being a player and should have the respect of a lot of people in that locker room. I think everybody in that locker room knows Sam Cassell and knows what he was able to do as a player, how he was able to lead.
I agree. And I would expect, like, Sam Cassell to be here. The only thing is, let's just say if, you know, right now it looks like Ty Lue could get that Houston job, right? So, let's, and, you know, Sam Cassell, they love him out in Houston, too. But let's just say if Ty Lue got the Clippers job or something like that, or Sam got the Clippers job. I mean, of course, a head coaching job for him is something that he's going to want to take. But, you know, I think it will be tough, because then what you're doing is you're looking at the Clippers. And even though Doc Rivers is leaving, the Clippers are still one of the favorites to win the NBA title next year. So when you factor that in, it's one of those things like, do you want to come back to the East Coast? I know he's from Baltimore, but do you want to come back to the East Coast to go to a team that's favored to be six in the East, as opposed to a team that, you know, you have the pieces to get it done? They didn't get it done last year, but they know they have the pieces, and it's LA. You know, but outside of that, I believe that Sam Cassell is going to be here. You know, to me, I'm not too concerned about his assemblance of a coaching staff at this particular time, because I think there are some things, movement that's happening behind the scenes, and they just have to make an announcement. And secondly, there are so many openings out there right now, to whereas there's a lot of candidates available, and there's a lot of people who are going to want to get paid, if that makes sense. Now, the question is, if I'm Doc Rivers and if I'm the Sixers, the problem though, then all of a sudden you're going to have people saying, okay, if the situation is similar, I'm going to go somewhere where I'm going to get more money. So that's the problem. You know what I mean? It's like, how much are you willing to pay for these assistant coaches, knowing that you have other guys still on the book from last year? That, to me, is the big thing. Because people are going to bid against the Sixers. They're going to try to outbid them because they want them, if that makes sense to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And also, you know, back to the point of what the philosophy of this team is. I mean, I guess Sam Cassell obviously knows what Doc Rivers' philosophy is because he's coached with them. If you're an assistant coach, unless you're an older coach, your goal is for this to be a stepping stone. So if I'm a defensive-minded coach, I want to know what the philosophy of the team is so that I'm going to someplace that showcases my abilities and my X's and O's intelligence. So if Doc Rivers were to come out and say, look, this is going to be a running-gun offense, I don't think that's the case. But if he were to say that, then as a defensive coach, I would want to go elsewhere. Even if everything was equal, I'd want to go where I can showcase my abilities, because there'll probably be more coaching opportunities in the next couple of years. Yeah. So, as an assistant coach, like you said, there's all these musical chairs right now, and assistants have lots of options. So, I still want to know who they're going to be, but maybe we don't know that until we know what the front office is going to look like in its entirety, because I think that the Sixers now lost somebody else today, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I don't know if they're filling that position. I don't know. Because I thought he was in scouting, correct?
He's kind of like, he was in scouting. You know, he had a pretty good title, but when you think of him being the main guy in there, nah, he wasn't the guy. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. He had a night. He was director of scouting, but they have other guys who, you know, he wasn't exactly like the front office guy. Like, he was in the scouting department, you know.
We're, 35 days or so away from the draft? The draft is coming up soon, right?
Yeah.
So do you wait and go through the draft, or make some trades or some signings, and then do you bring in your staff, or do you do it the other way around? I don't know what the answer is to that, but if I'm an assistant, this Sixer, it's amazing to me that with all the money they have put into this roster, how many question marks there are for this team.
It's a lot. But a lot of the question marks goes down to the bad decisions made by the front office, though, you may have to say. But hold on one quick sec. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I want to thank you guys for coming to this podcast. You can subscribe. I can't get it out. You can subscribe.
That's because you're so about your lawn.
Yeah, I know. You can subscribe.
Spend too much time with water. You're a water lawn.
Yeah, you should see me in the morning going out there looking at it too. And like, but oh yes, I got some new growth. But But you can subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts at. And also, make sure you listen to my man Jeff on Fridays at the Heart of Sports. You have to do it. If you haven't done it, you're a fool. And I literally mean that. If you haven't done it, you're a fool. But
that's gonna be our new marketing tagline. If you don't listen to the Heart of Sports, you're a fool. How's that?
Hey, can we trademark it? You know, right now I want to talk about, like, you know, when you talk about all the question marks that the Sixers had, and the thing is, the one thing that the Sixers can afford to do is what typically happened in 2018 when they said they were going to make some moves and they made some changes and they made minimal ones. And what I mean by that is, if they go into another team that is a reputable squad, and they get a guy who's probably third or fourth in command, and they elevate him to like the GM, and they may elevate Elton Brand to the president, and they're going to say, well, these are the changes that were made, and people are going to look like, oh, that's what you did? Again, that guy could be a great person, and he could be an up-and-comer, but at the same time, they're going to be criticized for that. If they go out there and get a guy who is a former player and give him his first opportunity, they're going to be criticized. Now, the only saving grace that they have right now is Doc Rivers. And what I mean by that is, although he is the coach, and they're saying his title is just the coach, the fact that he had some front office experience, you can look at it like, okay, this is going to be the Doc Rivers show. However, people are going to look at it and say, well, who are these guys working with them? And how much experience do they have? You understand what I'm saying? And then...
Yeah, so can I ask you a question that that I know a lot of people who listen to your podcast and who follow the NBA, and it's just sports in general, probably ask. Okay, so you just mentioned the possibility. Not saying that it's going to happen, but... people are wondering if the Sixers would bring in a different general manager and then elevate Elton to president. What does the president do? Like, he's not going to be running all of basketball operations. They have other guys that do those kinds of things. So, what exactly is the difference for people who don't know? What's the difference between what the general manager is going to be tasked with versus what the president's going to be tasked with, and how does that impact what Doc Rivers in all reality?
I'm gonna be honest with you. Recently, titles are nothing but titles, right?
That's my point.
Yeah, it's all it is. It's titles. Now, if you go to, let's just say, the Indiana Pacers, Kevin Pritchard is the president. Kevin Pritchard has like final say. Right? He runs the show. Then the general manager is basically like number two in command. And then then like the assistant general or whatever, they have another guy who's number three. Who's number three in command, right? So it's kind of like, you know, right now, to be honest with you, like you said, no matter what your title is, the guy who doesn't have the title is going to be the one that everyone assumes and everyone says is the one making the calls. And that's Doc Rivers, right? Because Doc Rivers is getting paid a lot of money to come here. So, again, nowadays, titles really don't mean anything. Like there are certain organizations where, because teams, what they have now is they also have consultants. Like, right. Let's go with the Clippers, for instance. Jerry West is a consultant. One of the best basketball minds of all time, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? He helped the Lakers. He helped Golden State. Now he's at the Clippers, right? So he's a consultant. But then they have a president. And then they have a general manager. So that in that instance, and then they had Doc Rivers too. So you understand what I'm saying? So the GM, depending on what you believe, the GM was either the third or the fourth guy.
That's my point.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, all this moving around of chess pieces doesn't really matter. The question really is who's calling the shots.
Yeah.
I don't really care what title Elton has. I don't care if they bring in some guy, you know, it's his first job, you know, his first general manager job. But the question is, who's making the decision?
Yeah.
Is this going to be a room full of six or seven people sitting around making decisions and doing it by consensus? Or are you going to have what really works, which is somebody's calling the shots? Yeah. They'll sit in a room, they'll listen to Doc, they'll listen to Elton, they'll listen to this person, they'll listen to some scouts. But at the end of the day, somebody's got to pull the trigger. Somebody's got to be responsible. And somebody's got to be the person in the room that says, this is the way it's going to be. And by the way, Doc, this is what you're going to have to work with. Or is Doc going to be the person?
If I had to choose one, if I had to say, because, you know, basically you go off of that press conference, that even after in August the 25th it was, when Elton said the collaborative effort days were over, you know, typically when a coach says, I work hand in hand with the general manager, people are under the perception that it's a collaborative effort, right? Because the coach is saying that. But you and I both know, you know, if your boss hires you and you're on the same level as him, you're not his boss, right? Sometimes you may have the title, but the guy who was hired is actually calling the shots. You understand what I'm saying? So for me,
who's calling the shots here?
I think if it came down to it, I think the final word could be Doc. See, this is what happens. Like, okay, you look at the Milwaukee Bucks, right? The word is, like, they have a general manager. They have all this other stuff. But the guy, Budenholzer, the coach, a lot of people, the word in the NBA is that he has to say. He's the one that does it. So, you know, you look at places like the Spurs, you know, in the past. You know, everyone knows it was Greg Popovich making it. And I think that when you're a guy like Doc Rivers, who has 21 years of experience, you're the second winningest active coach, you know, 11th all-time, you're making a lot of money, right? You know, you get afforded that opportunity to make it. Because let's face it, of all the people they have in the front office right now, he has the most experience making decisions than anyone else. He has more probably years than, now again, the guy Alex Rucker, you know, he was with Toronto, he came to the Sixers, but he was really the analytics guy. Ned Cohen worked for the NBA. So when you think of it, you know, Doc Rivers has more experience. So I'll have to say that Doc Rivers is going to have the final say if it comes down to that. Now, here's something else that, you know, again, so we talk about Budenholzer, we talk about all this other stuff. The perception is that Doc is going to be the one with the final say around the league. That's just how it is, you know. Right. Now, this is how it goes, though. A coach only wants to talk about typically X and O's. When he has his press conference, he doesn't really want to spend most of the time in the press conference talking about a possible trade or what this the team needs and stuff like that. You know, what they really want to talk about is they want to talk about the team, and you get someone else to do that. You know what I mean? So
right, which right now would be Elton.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but is Elton going to be happy with that?
I mean, I hate to speak for him, but if you can get a contract extension out of it, and you can possibly be with someone that who could help, you can learn from. Yeah, I could see that.
Assuming Elton's making a whole lot less than Doc.
I'm assuming that too. I mean, I don't know, but you know, I believe that when you have a guy like Doc Rivers, you assume that comes with the $8 to $9 million range per. That's a lot of money. You know what I mean? That's a lot of money. And I don't know too many. I mean, there may be some top-notch dudes who've done it, but they did it with experience. You know what I mean? That's a lot of money for EB.
So does Doc have the relationships to be doing more than coaching? Does he have the relationships built over his two decades as a coach and more than that as a player? Does he have the relationships, the gravitas, to go out and recruit, to be the general manager, or whatever position you're going to call it, other than head coach, to get the guys in here that we actually need to get in if we're going to get out of this quagmire of salary cuts?
Well, here's the thing that you got to realize. In this financial situation that they're buying into, I don't think they created a person that has that type of clout to get them out of it. Because nowadays, unless there's someone who's already made a lot of money and they're saying, I don't care, I'm going to come somewhere dirt cheap to get a ring, they're coming. And typically, they do that to teams that's like, let's say the Lakers or when LeBron was in Cleveland. Like teams that you knew were going to go to the NBA Finals. So you do it. I don't think that it's hard, like if Doc Rivers coming to your house or coming calling your agent and saying, hey, won't you take this mid-level exception or won't you take the minimum? Turn down that max contract because I think we're going to win a chip. Nah, that ain't happening. You know what I mean? So I think I do think as him as being a face and as him like his winning the championship and his resume, I think it speaks volumes to people. The only problem is, let's face it, people, you have to make a place where they want to come. And in order to make it a place that they want to come, they want to get paid too. You know what I mean? Like Philadelphia is nice, but I can go up the road to Toronto and get paid. Or I could go elsewhere and get paid. You understand? I could go to Miami right now. Like, Miami has so much cap space comparable to other teams, you could go there and get paid, and Miami just played in the finals. So, as much as Doc, you know, is a guy that people respect, you know, I think that they just have to make some trades and do some other things in order for people for them to free up that cap space needed, you know, to get people.
Does Doc, because I don't know if Elton has it, does Doc have the kind of relationships with front office people to kind of help with the wheeling and dealing?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I can't really speak to that. Now, one thing I will say, he was a president. But again, he was a president he was a basketball coach president. So, you know, a lot of times in situations like that, you hire people who have those relationships to make those calls for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? Let's face it, the questions that I'm asking you are questions of desperation.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because the fact is at this point, we're all struggling, everybody in Philadelphia, anybody who cares about the Sixers, is struggling right now with how do you get out of this mess? Like, it was just a short 16, 18 months ago that this mess looked a whole lot better. And somehow, by making a couple deals and not making a couple deals, it's created this disaster. And this disaster, it is Doc Rivers would seem to be such an upgrade over Brett Brown, but as you're pointing out, it doesn't matter almost who the coach is if you don't fix who the players are that he's got to coach. And so I struggle with every day, every time I think of the Sixers, is how do you get out of this mess?
Exactly.
Like, is there somebody, there's lots of smart people in the organization. I don't question that. The question is, are there people with the relationships or have the vision to get out of the mess that they got into? I mean, some of these people are still there. The ownership is still there. The people that made the decision not to keep Jimmy Butler are still there. The people that made the trade for Tobias Harris, still there.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Yeah, it's hard to fix, man, because here's the problem. The thing right now, there's two things that happen, right? Well, actually, multiple things. So, typically, if you want to get a top-notch front office executive, they want to be the one who hires the coach, because their success ultimately is linked to drafts and wins and losses. So if you don't have a hand in the coach, typically you're not coming. Now again, if they'll get someone, but typically that'll be someone who, like, in regards to, like, let's say if Elton does get the promotion, again, it's going to be someone who's like the quote unquote the equivalent of assistant general manager coming in here using this as a resume builder, right? But they're not going to have the power you want. Secondly, another problem is like, this team needs a ball handler, right? If you want to say Ben Simmons is going to be your point guard, you need a complementary ball handler, secondary ball handler. They need that. They need shooters, something you said beforehand. Now, again, the easy thing to say is, you know what, y'all? Al Horford and Joel Embiid didn't work. Let's go trade Al Horford and get what we want, right? Well, the problem with that is, and I think Al Horford to Sacramento is a great trade, but the people in Sacramento, based on like the emails I got, they were saying that's highway robbery. Why we want to pay him all that money and get rid of Buddy? Like, are you crazy? Like,
well, that's what you were suggesting to me last week. You were the one suggesting highway robbery.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but the thing is, so when you look at this, if the changes have to be made is A, you is the one person that you could get rid of. It may be hard to get rid of them. B, it's like, if you want to come in here, you know that you're probably not going to have the power. Now, again, you can be a consultant. You can do this. You can do that. But it's hard for them to get the type of person needed to come in here and change everything around when you have already hired a coach, because they don't want to be linked to the coach. Because no matter what, you know, you can, okay, I'm going to fire the coach. Okay, but then, you know, I mean, it's, believe me, the money that he's getting in the 5 years, you just can't fire the coach. Like, you know, other people are going to go. You just can't fire the coach like that. You just can't, you know. So, it's a hard spot for a front office guy that you may need to come in there and get something. Now, again, I don't think whoever they hire, people are going to be happy, because people saw the mistakes that were made in the past. And they want, you know, they want the Sixers to make a splash. The Sixers aren't going to make a splash. And as much as I like Elton as a person and stuff like that, if he goes up to become the president, people are going to be disappointed about that, because they're looking at him, even though it was a collaborative effort, people are looking at him as he was part of the problem, not the solution. You understand?
The only way people are going to be happy with whoever they bring in to supplement, bolster, whatever you want to call the word, of the front office, it's not going to be a name, because nobody knows front office names unless you're going to bring in Jerry West, okay? No, nobody's going to know well the names of the people except for Basketball Insider. Sadly, you're sitting down for this, I think what they need to do is they need to bring in somebody who has a reputation of being a cap wizard, somebody like Sam Hinkie. Yeah. I think the only way people are going to be happy is with, people need hope, okay? And what Sixers fans right now is, that what they need is hope. And the only hope that you're going to get is that there's going to be some genius who's some master with the cap that's somehow going to be able to dig the way out of this and get more pieces. So I'm not telling you that it'll actually happen, and that they'll happen, but if you want to make a splash that's going to for the next couple months, where fans are going to get, have some hope, it's going to have to be selling them on, we now have the genius who's going to be able to get us out of this mess.
But here's the problem with that. When Sam Hinkie was taking in these salaries, they had cap space. Like, the old regime left them a lot of cap. Basically, what he was doing is, he was taking in these ridiculous contracts so the Sixers could get to the floor, right? And they wouldn't have, so they would get to the floor And then basically you had it. But, and he was getting these expiring. So basically what he was doing is he was helping a lot of teams out. They were like, you know what? We want to get two expiring contracts. We'll give you this guy. Like, okay, good. And they would get draft picks for him. And what happens is the owners would sell two of the draft picks. You know, two of the future ones. They were doing stuff like that. Now, that was good. The problem now is what can you do when you're capped out? You know what I mean? And you have players that people don't want. That's the hard part. Like, that stuff that he did was good, but now is a whole lot harder. And in regards to it is, the thing is, so like, if you get a guy like, you know, I get you saying a cap guy. See, I don't think that a guy like Pat Riley is a quote-unquote cap guy. You know, I don't think like a guy like, and I'm not saying they're coming here. I'm not saying like the logo, Jerry West, is a quote-unquote cap guy. But what they do is they bring credibility to it. You know what I mean? Just like Doc brings credibility to the coaching, these are the type of guys people get on the phone with. They say what they have to say. People want to work underneath them because they want to learn from them. That's what I'm saying. So, like, you know, like, think about it. Pat Riley goes to the Knicks, and the Knicks go to the NBA Finals. And then he goes, like, he comes from the Lakers. He goes to the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks were good. Once the Bulls, like, disbanded for a little bit, the Knicks were the team, right? And then he goes to Miami. Look at the success he's had. Then you look at a guy like Jerry West with the Lakers, with Golden State, now with the Clippers. They're not cap guys. They hire cap guys. So I'm just saying, it's like when you have that type of name in there, they've been around for long. Like, I think...
Yeah, but there ain't that many guys that are Jerry West and Pat Riley. I mean, to me, I don't like Pat Riley, but I respect what Pat Riley has done. I mean, if you look at what he's done, not just as a coach, but what he's done in the front office, especially with Miami, he lost in the last 2 years LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade, and got back to the finals shortly after they left. Think about that.
Yeah, you're right.
With guys like Duncan Robinson.
Hey, like, that's great evaluation. See, that's what I'm saying. It's great evaluation, great talent evaluators.
Well, and then tell me, is there anybody in the current front office, in the Sixers front office?
Not right now. Not right now. I mean, not right now. But see, the one thing you got to realize is Pat Riley has had a crew there for years. Like, those people have been there for years. And that's the problem. They're young. But at the same time, you know what? And we're going to end it on this because I know you got some stuff to do. But at the same time, it comes down to what are you permitted to do? You know what I mean? Like, I believe that in this situation, we all know that Pat Riley's the alpha dog. We all know that. We know that he has final say. I think in the Sixers, in the Sixers situation, it's more or less, okay, let's get these people in place, but we want to have a collaborative effort. Well, the collaborative effort...
Who's the alpha dog right now?
The alpha dog, and well, right now, of the people in there, it has to be Doc. But before, the alpha dog was Josh Harris, the owner. Right?
Josh Harris has handed over that mantle to Doc?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's one of those things where he has the owner's ear. You know what I mean? So he can say, hey, look, this is the reason why we're going to do this, right? But, you know, again, and the thing is, like, it's only been a week for Doc, so we'll find out a little bit more. But I think he brings that credibility to where that they will listen to him. And like I said, he's probably making anywhere between 8 to 9 million. You're not going to pay somebody, like, you know, you're paying him that not just because you think he's a great coach. You're paying him that because of all the other things he brings to the table. You know what I mean? So I would have to say that of the people on the basketball side, people in the building, Doc Rivers is going to be the alpha dog. But typically, I think that no matter who the coach is in Miami, even when Pat Riley was the coach, Pat Riley was the alpha dog. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's a culture. It's a culture. And, you know, the thing is, in order for Doc to be successful, A, they need some more shooters. They need more ball handlers in order for them to be successful.
Oh, that's easy to get.
Exactly. Unfortunately for them. Exactly. But hey, y'all, I want to thank y'all for listening. I want to thank my man Jeff for being on the podcast, and I want y'all to have a great day. Hey, Jeff, just hit, let them know where they can reach you at.
You can catch us on The Heart of Sports at our website. You can catch us on our podcast on the 97.5 Fanatic Network. You can catch us on our podcast at iTunes, all those good places. And if you want to just listen live on the old-fashioned radio, you can turn on 860 AM in Philadelphia on Fridays at 4 o'clock.
All right, y'all. I want to thank y'all for listening. Peace.